I'm Brandi Cruz. Welcome to an Undivided special report. The job of immigration agents is different depending on where they're operating in the United States. Their mission is the same, but carrying out that mission can be more difficult depending on whether they're in a sanctuary state like ours here in Washington. I got a chance recently to head out on the streets with immigration agents to learn more about what they're up to under President Donald Trump and to dive into how their mission to improve public safety really should be something that a state like Washington embraces.
Okay, so we're in the greater Seattle area today, and we're going to be going out with a joint HSI and DEA team, and they're working on a subject that they've been on for a long time, off and on. He's a known drug trafficker in the area, and they've been on him today and seen some activity that appears to be drug transactions based on his history and some of the things that we followed. And so we have some intelligence that there is going to be another transaction coming up here, and so we're going to head to that area and see if we can make an arrest tonight.
It's the middle of the afternoon behind a grocery store in Burien, Washington, just south of Seattle. ICE and DEA agents have intel about a drug deal that's about to happen. Their main suspect is an illegal alien.
I'm thinking this is him, probably. Here, the surveillance team was on him and said that he was pulling into Fred Meyer, so looks like he's pulling up. Our team's now rolling in.
Scenes like this have played out all over Washington state with increased frequency since President Donald Trump was sworn in for a second term. Illegal aliens accused of child rape, drug trafficking, kidnapping, robbery, strangulation, domestic violence, pulled off the streets of Washington by federal immigration agents, proving even in a so-called sanctuary state, there is no sanctuary under President Trump for violent criminals who are in the U.S. illegally.
Getting this person out of the country where they can't do this anymore might be the most effective way of dealing with it.
Matthew Murphy is the acting special agent in charge for Homeland Security Investigations in Seattle.
You know, I have a lot of friends and colleagues around the country that operate in different places where they're, you know, and it's very different, where they're fully integrated with state and local police to do these types of operations, and it definitely makes their job a bit easier. When we put detainers on people and with the states, and, you know, somebody gets arrested for even a violent crime and there's a detainer, that's not honored. They go back out onto the streets. Now we have to put, you know, 6 to 10 agents out all day, sometimes several days, to try and find that person, to wait. And it's very manpower intensive, as opposed to if the detainer was just honored, you know, one or two agents could just go pick that individual up at jail and take him into immigration custody. That makes it a lot safer for everybody.
Here's a recent example in Colorado, where in Denver, an ICE agent was assaulted and bitten trying to take an illegal alien into custody after they were released from a local jail. Had the transfer happened in custody, ICE argues it would have been safer for everyone.
It's very political. It's politically driven.
Last week, the sheriff of Adams County, Washington, testified before the House Judiciary Committee about the danger sanctuary policies put his deputies in. He's facing a lawsuit brought on by the state of Washington for publicly stating that his agency will cooperate with ICE.
Putting people out onto the street and having them get caught again becomes a bigger problem. We're not arresting on immigration status. We're putting people in jail for crimes they committed in our community. And then ICE, because of public records that are available and things like that, they have the ability to find out who's in our custody and where they are and when they're released and all those kind of things. And they are basically released to their custody in the opposite way, similar to Denver in most cases.
Days before Sheriff Dale Wagner testified in front of Congress, U.S. Representative Michael Baumgartner, a Republican representing Eastern Washington, wrote a letter to State Attorney General Nick Brown questioning whether the state has authority to stop a duly elected sheriff from cooperating with lawful immigration enforcement.
We want to know why he's trying to impede or punish the sheriff of Adams County for following federal law and immigration enforcement, security of our borders, national security, that is clearly in the Constitution, a federal law. And yet Washington State, as a sanctuary state, so-called sanctuary state, is going after Adams County for trying to work with ICE. And we know right now there are hardened illegal immigrant gang members and fentanyl dealers inside of Washington State jails. And if the system were working properly, when ICE or the federal immigration authorities would issue a detainer saying, we know this bad guy is in your jail. Please hold them so we can come and get them and get them out of the country. What's going on is Nick Brown is saying to sheriffs like Dale Wagner in Adams County, you can't talk to the federal immigration officials. And so what that means, instead of being able to pick that guy up in jail and take care of him, that person is then released into the community. And so when ICE wants to go find him, they now have to get 8 or 10 guys in body armor and weapons drawn. And it's very dangerous for the law enforcement officers. It's dangerous for the community. It's dangerous for the individual. And it's not great for the immigrant community either, because it means when ICE comes through, more people are going to get swept up that are lower priorities.
Yes, ma'am.
And Republicans aren't the only ones questioning the black and white nature of sanctuary policies. Congressman Adam Smith, a Democrat who represents the suburbs east of Seattle, says he supports a lot of the work being done by Homeland Security.
The basic notion that the border is more secure is a positive. I mean, there's no question about that. And look, yeah, I'm not going to argue that under the Biden administration, mistakes were made that left our border not as secure as it needed to be. I think it's pretty clear. I mean, when the Biden administration came in and initially said that they were going to stop all deportations. Now, that didn't actually happen, but he did say it, and it put that message out there. And then, you know, opening the border up widely to a lot of asylum seekers, all of them, clearly overwhelmed us. I am not comfortable with the idea of any state saying that they're not going to cooperate with the federal law. I'm uncomfortable with the fact that we have those sanctuary policies that represent a division between state law and federal law. Now, I got to look into exactly who's doing what the state of Washington is doing, what the city of Seattle is doing, what others are doing to see what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. I'll give you one specific example. And sure. Danny Westney wrote a column about this a while ago about how, you know, we blocked for a while any deportation flights out of the King County Airport. And Danny correctly pointed out that we're blocking any, even if you were picking someone up who was a rapist or a murderer or whatever. I don't agree with that. Now, you want to get into a discussion about, you know, what I've talked about undocumented population that's only committing fraud to get a job versus people who actually threaten the community. I'm open to that, but I'm not comfortable with our state or any jurisdiction saying we're simply not going to pay any attention to immigration laws whatsoever.
But there are some activities he thinks go too far. Earlier this month, ICE arrested 37 illegal immigrants at a roofing company in Bellingham near the Canadian border. You probably know going in, this isn't in a state like Washington, one of the more popular things we're going to do.
Correct. You know, we do these notices of inspection and we get a company to turn over their I-9s. And In this particular case, the company turned over, I think, 84 I-9s from the last year, and they had 56 incidents of fraudulent documentation for these workers. 54, I think, with fraudulent legal permanent resident cards and 2 false claims to U.S. citizenship. So we're able to use our databases and do all of our checks and determine that, yes, like 56 individuals at this company were here illegally and gained illegal employment through this company.
That's 60% of their workforce.
Right, using fraudulent documentation. So I think there's a scope here for us when we're, you know, with Worksite, we're trying to enforce compliance. We're doing outreach and trying to educate people, and then we serve fines as well. And depending on the situation, you know, there's various different steps that we're going to take. But in this instance, you know, we work with the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Western District of Washington to get a search warrant to go in and look into this employer to determine their level of knowledge and all of that. But also, as part of that, we are going to take enforcement action on the individuals that are present that have used fraudulent documentation and are not legally present in the United States.
The arrests prompted protests and garnered sympathetic news coverage. 7 Democratic members of Congress from Washington State sent a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, writing, quote, because of this raid and other detainments across the country, the fear of being taken away at gunpoint in unmarked vans is becoming widespread. This fear leaves students and employees scared to go to class and to go to work. It cripples our small businesses and local economies. economies, and critically, it makes it more difficult for state and local enforcement to build and maintain trust with the communities they serve. ICE actions like the raid that took place in Bellingham are making our communities less safe. Congressman Smith was among those who signed that letter. These individuals had almost all presented fraudulent work documents. So if I'm in the U.S. even as a citizen and I'm presenting fraudulent documents to an employer, am I not breaking the law?
But are you a danger to the community? That's the thing. Trump presents this as these are people who are a danger to the community. They're going to physically harm people. They're going to steal from people. They're going to be a danger to the community. And that's what rightly gets people concerned. You know, when you see, you know, someone who's got multiple arrests, a long criminal record, and doesn't have documentation, you know, committing a crime to harm somebody. You know, this is different to my mind. And one big piece of this, the United States of America for decades now has relied upon undocumented labor in a wide variety of settings. And I have long felt that there should be a pathway to citizenship for those undocumented workers who we have here, who are, you know, vital parts of our community, you know, whether you're talking agriculture, restaurants, hotel industry, construction industry, you know, they've been a vital part of our community. I think there should be a pathway to citizenship for them. And I know a lot of your listeners will disagree with me on that. You know, I do agree that we need to have a more secure border. We can't continually have people flowing across. Part of that is having a better legal immigration system. I mean, Trump isn't just blocking and going after the undocumented population. He's making it more difficult, you know, to be a legal immigrant, to get in here. And even if you are, in some cases, they're targeting green card holders and permanent legal residents.
Is your position that we should not be, or ICE should not be, conducting those workplace raids?
My position is that we should have a pathway to citizenship for that undocumented population so that these people are not in the situation that you just described.
But isn't that an incentive to come in illegally and work illegally if it could be a pathway to citizenship?
Well, if you have border security, if you have stricter asylum laws, and if you have a legal immigration process that allows people to come in legally, I don't believe so. Though I don't believe it is enough of an incentive to outweigh the positive of dealing with this, you know, because I think the negative is, I don't know what the numbers are, late. It's over 10 million people in this country undocumented, at least last time I looked. The overwhelming majority of which are, you know, working, making a living. In fact, there was an op-ed in the Seattle Times by a Trump-supporting immigrant who admitted, he said, my family came here undocumented. The reason he supported Trump is my family came here undocumented, but we didn't ask for anything. We went to work. We didn't show up and demand that you pay for my housing, you pay for food and all this other stuff. We went to work. Well, obviously he went to work illegally, but it also helped build our economy. So I think we need to recognize that. And I think whatever risk there is of the incentive you describe, that is less of an evil to me than having 12 million undocumented people in this country who are working, paying taxes, vital parts of our community, who are living in a non-secure situation.
So what do you say to members of the public who say, well, these are just people who are trying to make money and maybe send it back home and they're not out mm-hmm. there committing violent crime?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that perspective, but I understand like the priority of the administration is to look at this from several different fronts, and worksite enforcement's a priority. I think we look at it from the standpoint of we're trying to ensure compliance with U.S. employment laws. We certainly have concern when there's fraudulent documentation out there and, like, you know, trying to figure out where that came from. Is there a mill? Is there a supplier of that type of level of documentation? And, you know, I think they're also trying to ensure that there's opportunities for the legal individuals to have employment and to just ensure that people are complying with employment laws.
You know, you say they built our economy, we have all these workers, but at the expense, is it not, of the American worker, and at the expense sometimes of those undocumented workers. I mean, this, I don't know if you read the article in the Bellingham Herald. This owner of this roofing company was interviewed, and he said something to the effect of, and I'm going to misquote him, but you know, people need to realize that the costs will go up if we can't do this, essentially. And I read that as he's basically saying he had to hire these guys because American workers would have been too expensive.
Well,
So
no,
here
but
you
no,
have.
it's worse. It's different than that.
Is it?
Okay. Yes, it is. And I remember
Okay.
speaking with a supporter of mine from down in Fife when I represented Fife,
Yeah.
was a farmer. It's not a matter of American workers would be more expensive. Many they won't do the work. They won't. As a farmer, literally, he tried trying to hire people, and he up. I mean, this was like 20 years ago, paying 20, 25 bucks an hour. So these are jobs that do need to be filled. And keep in mind, the unemployment rate is and has been very low in the United States for a long time. Now, if you get to the situation where you do have people taking away jobs from others, then yeah, that's a different conversation, but that's not really where we're at. The problem is we have too many jobs that don't pay people enough. There's plenty of people to fill them. So I don't agree that if you got rid of the undocumented workers, that what would happen is you'd have U.S. workers working there and get paid more money. You'd have, as we've had happen, crops that go unpicked because they no one can be there to pick them. Restaurants to shut down because they can't hire workers. So, and that's a complicated sort of labor argument, but I think the statistics are pretty clear that the undocumented immigrants contribute to the economy. They're not a detriment to it.
Enforcement actions like the one in Bellingham are what activists have seized on to protest all kinds of ICE activity. These signs popped up around Tacoma saying ICE not welcome and directing people to cause a scene if they see ICE activity by yelling at them, blocking their vehicles, and stopping them from entering buildings. Acting Special Agent in Charge Murphy says his agents have been doxxed and harassed. They now cover their faces when in the field.
My biggest concern every day is just making sure that the men and women that go out and work for this agency are not, it's a dangerous job inherently, but to try and put them in situations where they can succeed and they're not going to be placed in more danger than they would otherwise be. And so, yeah, I think this environment is can be challenging to operate in.
Does it matter to you if the public supports the work you're doing?
I mean, certainly, I think you want to feel like we took this job to serve the country and to serve our communities, and to make the community safer and be public servants. So I think inherently you want the community to say, hey, good job. We appreciate what you're doing. But at the end of the day, I think we're a tight-knit group. We support one another and we try and stick together and give each other that support so that we know, we're doing our job and, it's in line with the laws and the Constitution, and we kind of have to have each other's back sometimes as well. The hard part for the agents is, these are all trained law enforcement professionals who are enforcing the laws of the United States, and they're going out every day and they're working extremely hard. They're professional, they're diligent, they're empathetic, and they're doing their job. They're enforcing these laws that are on the books here in the United States, and they're being enforced with more of a priority for sure. But I think when you see the backlash from even some of the public for doing that work, that's always going to be challenging for people. They want to feel like they're having a positive impact on the community with the work that they're being asked to do. So I think that can be challenging. But I think at the end of the day, we try and support one another, go, stay together as a team, do the job that we're being asked to do. And by and large, a lot of this work is having a positive impact on the community. As you've seen, we've gone out, we're taking narcotics traffickers off the street. We're taking people that are exploiting children off the street every day. And I think, they're doing good work, and we try and just find solace in that.
Back now to that drug bust in Burien. Agents uncovered 4 pounds of meth that were bound for the streets, where Washington's drug crisis is one of the worst in the nation.
Mid to high level drug trafficking is not happening in this area without the cartel say so. The structure that's here up through Oregon and Washington, I mean, it's the drug distribution networks. It's Sinaloa Cartel. It's CJNG. And then there's a lower level of Honduran DTOs who are distributing for them.
Perhaps it's an area where increased cooperation between local governments and federal agencies would not only be less controversial, but make a substantial difference in public safety and quality of life, if leaders here can set ideology aside long enough to consider whether policies creating a sanctuary for illegal aliens are also destroying a sanctuary for citizens.
We're doing work that I think benefits the community. You know, I think hopefully most people are in favor of getting fentanyl and getting methamphetamine and arresting these types of targets. So, you know, I think hopefully that people will be relieved to see that we're arresting someone that's doing this kind of stuff in the community.
We really appreciate ICE allowing us to come out with them. Certainly all those agents allowing us to be there. I'm sure having the media around, given the climate right now, isn't their favorite thing in the world. But it's really important for people to see what they're doing. And especially with those drug busts and the arrest of violent criminals, you know, there's a whole big range of things that these agents are up to in our state and many other states that really people should be able to agree are a good thing. And you get into some of the ICE operations that are happening at workplaces and you know, there are some differences of opinion there. But I think if you can start on what we agree on and then move forward from there, the only result is going to be safer communities and a less divided populace. I also want to thank our old friend Robert Hammer. So you might recall Robert Hammer's been on the show before, definitely a friend of the show. He was the former special agent in charge for Homeland Security Investigations in Seattle. He's now over in D.C. He's the acting executive associate director for Homeland Security Investigations in the Trump administration. So we miss him here, but he helped us connect with ICE here to be able to get out on the streets, and we appreciate it. So we will have our full interview with Congressman Adam Smith airing tomorrow. You watched parts of it there in that special report. I wanted to play the whole thing because I think we had a fantastic conversation about the nuance of this issue and where are some areas where Democrats might give a little, Republicans might give a little, so we can end up in a better place. In the meantime, if you've not signed up to support the work we do on Undivided, we do 4 live shows a week. We do an exclusive show for subscribers on Sunday. We do several other mini shows throughout the week and special content. It's just $5 a month to support our independent content and our independent show. You can sign up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. And click on the banner that says support the show for $5. If you are a member of the military, a veteran, or a first responder, right now you can get 30% off your first year of Undivided by using the promo code USA.